meeting logistics. On March 17, 2020, Governor Newsom issued Executive Order N-2920 related to the COVID-19 pandemic. The executive order allows state bodies governed by the Brown Act to hold public meetings via teleconferencing. The public is encouraged to participate in the meeting telephonically by dialing the conference line listed above and may submit written comments for prior consideration to the board members. Comments can be submitted to bmendoza@innovationhigh.org. Public comment on the day of the meeting can also be given during the public comment section of the meeting agenda. Reasonable accommodation will be provided for any individual with a disability. Please see the accommodations notice. As a reminder, as required by state law, SB 126, this meeting will be audio recorded and posted on the charter school's website. Agenda, item number one, opening items. I will call this meeting of Alta Vista Innovation High School, operated by Western Educational Corporation, a California nonprofit public benefit corporation, for Tuesday, December 8, 2020, at 2:45 p.m. to order. Roll call and establishment of the quorum. Michael Adams is here. Claudette Beck?
Here.
Frank Lucasa?
Here.
And we are all present and accounted for and do have a quorum. Pledge of Allegiance. I will request that Mr. Frank Lucasa lead the Pledge of Allegiance. All other participants on the phone, please mute your phones during the pledge. It's all yours, Frank.
Thank you, Michael. Please place your right hand over your heart. Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. And item D, staff introductions, corporate officers.
Yes, thank you, President Adams. Jeff Brown, Chief Executive Officer.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. School staff.
This is Janet Wilson, Area Superintendent.
Thank you, Janet.
Julie Butta, Area Superintendent.
Thank you, Julie.
Ken Larson, Principal.
Thank you, Ken.
Alyssa,
good afternoon.
This is Raquel
Belasco. I think I heard Alyssa.
And Raquel Belasco, principal.
And thank you, Raquel.
And this is Jeff. This is Jeff Martineau, Vice President, Charter Relations.
Thank you, Jeff.
Hi, Sherry Padilla, College and Career Coordinator.
Thank you, Sherry.
Greetings, Shelley Dansby, WIOA Court. Excuse me, WIOA Administrator.
Thank you, Shelley.
This is Connie Petit. I'm the Senior Director of Special Programs.
Thank you, Connie. And School Legal Counsel.
Welcome to the board, and I appreciate being able to be here. Bill Thompson, attorney for the school.
Thank you, Bill. And advisors who are supporting agenda items or presenting.
Good afternoon. This is Gita Sherry, please, CFO with LLAC. Thank you.
Thank you, Gita.
And hi, this is Michelle Lopez, counsel with LLAC.
Thank you, Michelle. And any other staff who wish to introduce themselves at this point in time?
Hi, this is Joan Robinson, and I'm the EMR EMT instructor for CTE.
Thank you, Joyce.
Hi, this is Tricia Hale. I'm the project assistant for, I work with Shelley Dansby, this WIOA.
Thank you, Tricia.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else? Okay, moving on. Item E. May your motion to approve the agenda for the December 8, 2020 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors.
Frank Lucasa, I make a motion to approve open item 1E.
Thank you.
I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
And that passes with 3 yes votes. Item F, may your motion to approve the minutes of the October 20th, 2020 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors.
Frank Lucasa, make a motion to approve open item 1F.
Thank you.
Right back, I'll make a second on that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank LaCosta?
Aye.
And that passes with 3 yes votes. Item 2, consent agenda. All items listed under consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and consistent with approved policies and practices of the charter school. The board will be asked to approve all of the consent agenda items by a single vote unless requested by a board member to be discussed and considered for action separately. We have 4 consent agenda items tonight. The first is the board will be asked to approve the revised school safety plan. The second, the board will be asked to adopt the updated El Dorado Charter Special Education Local Plan Area SELPA plan. Third, the board will be asked to approve the updated participation agreement with the El Dorado Charter Special Education Local Plan Area SELPA. And fourth, the board will be asked to approve the student intervention, promotion, and retention policy. Is there any board member who would like any of the consent items removed for discussion separately at this time? Hearing none, I'll hear a motion to approve consent agenda items 1 through 4.
Frank LaCosta, I make a motion to approve consent agenda items 1 through 4.
Thank you.
Put it back, I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank LaCosta?
Aye.
And that passes with 3 yes votes. Item 3, public comment. At this time, members of the public may address the board on any item within the subject matter jurisdiction of the board, whether or not the item is on the agenda. If you would like to participate in the public comment, you must have signed in before the commencement of the meeting. Also, our teleconference line is open to members of the public who wish to participate in public comment. The time allotted per presentation will not exceed 3 minutes, except in the case where a member of the public utilizes a translator, in which case the time allotted will not exceed 6 minutes. The total time allotted for public comments will not exceed 18 minutes per agenda item or 10 minutes for non-agenda items. In accordance with the Brown Act, no action may occur at this time, but it is the board's prerogative to hold a brief discussion, provide information to the public, provide direction to staff, or schedule the matter for a future meeting. Are there any members of the public on the line at this time who would like to make comment? Hearing none, were there any written comments made to the board prior to the start of the meeting?
Hi, this is Shelley Sands reporting that there have been no comments submitted to the email listed on the agenda and posted online.
Thank you, Shelley. And we'll move on to item 4, the public hearing. I will request a motion to open the public hearing.
Frank LaCosta, I make a motion to open the public hearing.
Thank you.
Claudia Beck, I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank LaCosta?
Aye.
That passes with 3 yes votes. The public hearing is now open at 2:54 p.m. The board has allotted 30 minutes for the public hearing. Members of the public shall have 3 minutes each to address the board during the public comment section of this hearing. The board may extend this time upon majority vote. The board will first share a presentation on the budget overview for parents' plans from the area superintendent, and that's Janet Wilson.
Good afternoon, and thank you. This item for the 2021 school year, the budget overview for parents, was decoupled from the development of the LCAP last spring with Senate Bill 98. Senate Bill 820 requires it to be approved by local boards by December 15, 2020, and this is to be done in alignment with the Charter's first interim report. The budget overview for parents includes information on local control funding formula, also known as the LCFS revenues, supplemental and concentration grants, state funds, and federal coronavirus aid relief, and economic security, which is the CARES Act funds. As indicated in the public hearing, the total estimated expenditures for the year are described in large estimated amounts with the budget for the overview for parents, and that is on page 317 to 320 in your packet. In addition, the budget overview for parents demonstrates to the public and parents that the school directed its funds in 2019-2020 towards increasing or improving services in meeting the needs of the school community impacted by COVID-19, while also directing funds for its high-need students, such as low-income students, English learners, foster youth, and our homeless students. If you look at on our chart, you will see that in we have budgeted and we are spending this money for our learning continuity plan to really focus on the high-need students in our learning centers. We are adding student retention support staff for re-engagement and outreach for students, tutoring for distance learning in English language arts, mathematics, and English language development, intervention teachers, and courses with small group instruction in math and English, additional staff and services for counseling and support for social emotional needs, such as giving staff time on breaks to be available to meet the needs of our homeless and our food insecure learners, additional staff for career technology education courses, either online or in person when possible. And again, they also are available during break times to ensure that our student learning is happening with CTE and with Chaffey College. We also are increasing monitoring and intervention for students who need additional attention, and connecting students to community partners who can support them and their family as needed. And I will share with you later on in the superintendent report how we partner to feed our students during this really critical time. Actually, not only did we spend the amount of money in LCFS to target these students, last year we actually exceeded that amount by $5,000. The need is great, and it's very important to meet the needs of our students. So we are also looking forward this year to really focusing on the needs of our students. And how did we know what they needed? When we held the community meetings, the parent meetings, the student meetings, we asked them what they needed. And this report and the expenditures in this report are a reflection of what our staff, students, and parents communicated to us that they need. Do you have any questions?
Any questions or comments from the board? Thank you. The board will now solicit recommendations and comments from members of the public on the budget overview for parents plan. Are there any members of the public on the conference line who wish to offer comments at this time? Hearing none, are there any members of the public who submitted written comments to the board?
Hi, this is Shelley Sams reporting that there have been no comments submitted to the email listed on the agenda and posted online.
Thank you. In that case, may I hear a motion to close the public hearing?
Frank Lucasa, I make a motion to close the public hearing.
Thank you.
Claudia Beck, I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
That passes with 3 yes votes. The public hearing is now closed at 2:59 p.m. Moving on to item 5, school reports and information. Item A, area superintendent update. Janet Wilson.
Good afternoon, President Adams, Mrs. Beck, and Mr. Lucasa. I hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving and that you are able to find some joy during the holidays in these challenging and troubling times. I want to begin with the COVID-19 update. We had hoped that we would be able to go back to a hybrid opening in January, but with COVID now being in crisis proportions, and Southern California insist stay-at-home orders, this will not be possible. Unfortunately, Los Angeles, Riverside, and San Bernardino counties are all in the purple tier, and their numbers are rising by hundreds of cases daily. Hospitals are stretched to maximum capacity, and we simply must stay closed for the safety of our staff and students. We will continue to monitor the situation daily, but will not open for full student appointments until it is safe to do so. We will continue to serve our students remotely, offer drop-off and pick-up packets, and do all we can to stay connected with our students. I do want to say that, unfortunately, I found out today from Principal Larson that we have 9 students in Hesperia who have COVID at this time. And also, in order to better support our students and families during these trying times, we did have a skeleton crew during the Thanksgiving break. We had CTE teachers working 3 hours a day to stay in touch with our dual enrollment students to ensure their success at Casey College. We also had a skeleton crew available at all San Bernardino sites, Chicago Avenue, and San Jacinto. Holidays are not a joyful time for many of our students, and truthfully, it is a time when they need more support, not less. Knowing that, we reach out to them, and they can call someone when they are in crisis, and it is vital. As I've shared with you, we are all in the same storm, but we are not in the same boats. Many of our students don't have an inner tube, and we are their life preservers, their lifelines. They don't just need these lifelines when we are open. They need to be able to reach out 24/7, especially during the holidays, which, again, is often a sad, depressing time when you are homeless and food insecure. We know that suicides have increased dramatically, especially in youth 15 to 24. Because of this, we will also have a very small skeleton crew available over the winter break so that students can reach someone if they are in crisis. I am heartbroken to tell you that one of our students at Highland Learning Center passed away on Sunday evening. This beautiful young lady was 17 years old, and I'm going to try not to cry, and contracted COVID several weeks ago. Unfortunately, she also had a seizure disorder and had a seizure in the bathtub 3 weeks ago, resulting in her drowning. She was placed on life support for 3 weeks and lost her valiant fight this past Sunday night. Our counselor, Julissa Garcia, and our community liaison, Stephanie Congdon, are teaming to find support for her family. I reached out to all of our staff yesterday to check on their well-being and to please let me or their principals know if they need any emotional support during this time of tragedy. But I'm pleased to report that even during these times, we continue to reach out and engage our students in learning. At least 5 of our teachers made it to the 100% club status during LP5, meaning they had 100% utilization for LP5. Our Highland Learning Center had an average of 93% utilization. San Bernardino had 91% utilization, and Salon Success had 88%. Our goal during non-COVID times is 85%, and while our other centers didn't quite reach that 85% mark, all learning centers are striving to hit the 85% target or better, and hopefully we can report continuing improvement to you at the next board meeting. One of the challenges during remote learning is how to keep our CTE and dual enrollment classes going. It is my pleasure to introduce Sherry Padilla, our regional career and college coordinator, to share some of her successes. And with Sherry today, it's also my pleasure to introduce Joanne Robinson, our EMT partner, who works diligently with Sherry's team to instruct her EMT students remotely. Sherry Padilla, it's yours.
Good afternoon, you guys. I just will brief this dual enrollment and CT programs that we have. I really want you guys to hear from Joanne Robinson, and we actually have another guest speaker, Destiny, from the Apple Valley location. So I'll give you the update on the dual enrollment and CT pathways that we have, and then I'll turn it over to Mrs. Robinson next, and then when she's finished, I will turn it over to Destiny so she can update you on all the courses that she's taken with JP College and EMT and how much she's loved it and benefited from it. So just the basic, what we have with CT Pathways, which we've grown a lot, we have child development, business, health, carpentry, 3D printing, culinary on the way, electrical and plumbing. What we have right now is we are doing everything remote, and we are servicing the kids the best way we can, and we actually, as a team, do SGI, the small group instructions with our kids. The team meets twice a week with the kids so they can walk them through any complications or answers they might have. For our dual enrollment colleges that we have, we are with ELAP, San Bernardino Valley College, Victor Valley College, RCC with welding, and our big partnership that we have is Chaffey College. We have several opportunities with them and growing. We've hit most core English, history, criminal justice, keyboarding, guidance, earth science, accounting, financial planning, a business, diet and fitness. And we have two articulation pieces now with Chaffey College. One is the child development articulation piece that we are going to pilot this spring 2021. And then this is where I'm going to hand over. We have an EMT articulation with Chaffey College with Joanne Robinson, and she services our whole region with our students. And I can't explain how honored I am for her to be on the phone call so she could express how these kids love her program. So I'm going to hand it over to Joanne.
Good afternoon to the board. As Sherry explained, my name is Joanne Robinson, and I've been working with the Learn for Life program for approximately 2 years. Within that two-year period, we've had an opportunity to teach approximately 200 students have come through this program with a good amount, I want to say between 70% or so completing the actual program. Since we've articulated the program, we've had several students that have been able to go on to the next level, which is with considering coursework in within the medical field. Speaking firsthand, I work for American Medical Response. I've been there for approximately 13 years, and this field is in demand, especially with this COVID situation that's taking place. We are in desperate need of healthcare workers, and EMT is an opportunity for them to make that contribution. And it only requires approximately around 6 months or less of training for them to actually develop and have a career pathway. One of the other things I wanted to mention that is the 911 provider for not only San Bernardino County but Riverside County as well. We are in desperate need of medics, and so we are offering $10,000 scholarships for those students who would like to continue on into a medic pathway. And speaking of scholarships, again, I truly believe that this is a field that's necessary. Through this EMT program in partnership with Chaffey and Learn for Life, I am pleased that we are able to actually offer a scholarship to some of those top students who are seniors that participate in the program.
Thank you, Joanne. Thank you. Can I introduce Destiny? Destiny, you on there? Destiny's a student at the Apple Valley location.
Hello, I'm here. Sorry.
Okay.
Okay. Hi, my name is Destiny, and I actually took the EMT class that Ms. Sean taught, and I've taken some other courses with Chaffey as well, and the EMT class was really such a great, experience, and it was helpful because I'm looking to be into the medical field, and so I got to learn a lot from that class, and I actually enjoyed it, and I enjoyed, doing EMT, but my career, choice is a trauma surgeon, but I think the EMT class was so helpful and interesting, and got to learn different things, see different things, hear different stories, and I think the Chaffey classes are great. I've taken English, and I'm taking guidance and a history right now, and they're helpful, and I like them a lot.
Thank you so much, Destiny. Do you guys have any questions for the three of us?
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board at this time?
This is Claudia Becky. I'd just like to say thank you to Janet and Shelley and Joanne and the young lady who is speaking, because it's so nice to hear what's happening, and we'd really like the students to be, you know, letting us know how they're doing with these things. I really appreciate that.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments?
Thank you, and that concludes our superintendent update. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Just that I'm very sorry to hear about the death and the illnesses of our students. That's very tragic, and I know it hits the staff very hard. And I'm so sorry to hear about it.
It does, and thank you, and we will take good care of them, I promise you.
Thank you. Item B, WIOA update. Janet?
As you know, EBI is a WIOA charter, and we have 15 sites, so it's extremely important that we not just say that we are WIOA. We absolutely need to live and breathe it, and we are blessed with a WIOA administrator in Riverside and San Bernardino counties who has worked miracles. Because of Shelley Dansby, we have a WIOA partnership with every WIOA partner in Riverside through the Riverside County Workforce Development Board and through the Workforce Development Center, where we actually, in non-COVID times, that's where Shelley's and Tricia, both of their offices are there. We are so busy with WIOA that Shelley not only is full-time busy, she also has a WIOA project assistant who is busy full-time 24/7. So I am pleased to introduce Shelley Dansby, who will give you the WIOA overview for our ABI charter. Thank you.
Okay. Greetings. Happy birthday to all board members. My name is Shelley Dansby, and I am the WIOA administrator. And I'm just going to briefly go through some of the WIOA activities that we provide to support all of our youth. So I just want to start off and just note we have approximately 86 students who have been enrolled in the WIOA, what we call the case managed services. The case management services are services where they're in the program for at least a two-year period, and they are required to participate in the work-based learning activities, and they are also given an opportunity to do a paid internship. As far as the students who are enrolled in WIOA through our AJCC centers, we have over 500 students. That enrollment in WIOA is a little less aggressive, and those students who are enrolled in WIOA, they basically just do the WIOA resume writing workshop, and then they begin to seek employment. Now, we offer work-based learning activities to all of our students within all of our sites. As of today, we have documented at least 366 students have participated in any of our work-based learning activities. And then let me explain. A work-based learning activity could be guest speakers coming in to talk about their journey and their career, and then also speaking on where they work and how to get your foot in the door or how to transition into that particular position. Work-based learning activities also include resume writing workshops, interview techniques, how to dress for success, financial literacy workshops, work ethic workshops, how to keep a job, mock interviews, and so on. So we either provide the work-based learning activities ourselves, me and Ms. Tricia Hale, or we have our WIOA youth providers come and they present. Now we have switched over to Zoom. We recently was just able to solidify a
schedule with all our WIOA youth provider partners so that starting in January, they will do the presentations, work-based learning presentations to all of our students. So we have, through the San Bernardino and the Riverside County Workforce Development Board, we have the WIOA Youth Providers Goodwill, we have Youth Action Project, we have California Family Life Center, we have Equitas Workforce Solutions, and we have Career Institute, and we have two more workforce partners, WIOA partners that will be coming on board, hopefully January, or maybe, early February. So, all of these, workforce providers work with our students, and, we've also scheduled, starting in January, where these workforce providers, they will come and, zoom in into all of our centers and present to the teachers and staff just to let them know of all the services that are available through WIOA, all the paid internships, and also as a system to check in to see what's needed, how can we support, and how our students can have the best possible services through WIOA. We also attend the Workforce Development Board regional planning meetings. We are a part of the Riverside County Workforce Development Board Committee, so we attend all those meetings, and those meetings are really crucial because that's where they make decisions on where the money should go. They make decisions on what programs should be offered, and that's where they determine which youth need the services. So it's very crucial that we are right there in those meetings so that we can represent all of our students. Also, before we were sent to work remotely, Tricia Hale, we also provide an in-kind service to the Riverside County Workforce Development Board. So at their front office in their career center, we have Tricia there for 2 days a week, and she is there supporting all clients who are coming in to get jobs. And so that's been a big plus because in doing that, put our school site out there, and then people know about us, and then we have even gotten some referrals from people who are coming to get a job, and then they will mention that they have a daughter or a son that needs the type of educational program that we offer. So it's been a really, really great opportunity to partner with these WIOA youth providers. Also, I want to say that every month, we have put a pause on it, but we're going to start back in January because of COVID, but every month we have what we call a WIOA Advisory Committee that meets monthly. And so what that is all of the WIOA professionals and the WIOA youth providers, they all come together and meet with us to talk about any updates they have, what new programs, what opportunities, how can we better support, because I think it's very important that we keep that communication going with all of our youth providers to make sure we stay in good standing. So these WIOA Advisory Committee meetings are really, really good. I'm going to share a quick story. There was one executive director of one of our WIOA youth providers who really didn't care too much about our schools and what we offered because she had, you know, loyalty somewhere else. And so I could never, ever get through to her. And then one of our WIOA advisory committees, I decided to have, I don't know if any of you are familiar with this, but I decided to have a big luncheon and a soul train line where I had each WIOA provider down the line and dance to celebrate, you know, what we've done so far for youth. And so this one particular WIOA youth provider who is very well known, she's on the board for the Riverside County Workforce Board, that was the one thing that broke her. And after the meeting, she said, Shelly, you know what? You're all right. And after that, she has been so supportive
in helping us get our students enrolled in all of her youth provider programs. So I just wanted to say that, to say that it really does pay to build these positive relationships with our WIOA partners. Also, just recently, I had to do a survey, and I surveyed about 30 WIOA participants just to see how participating in WIOA impacted their academic, career, and personal development. And it looks like the majority of those participants that I interviewed said that they really, really appreciated these work-based learning activities with the guest speakers coming in, talking about their career, the resume writing, the interview technique, and the paid internships. Our students really, really appreciate that. And so we just need to find more money, because the WIOA youth providers can only provide so much. So that's the thing, is the funding, so that we can do it on a bigger scale. But I did want to mention that our youth seriously appreciate it, and they want more. Also, I also wanted to mention that we also reach out to our students who have graduated to get them involved in some type of paid internship or a apprenticeship. The apprenticeships are usually geared to those youth or young adults who are 18 and over. So that's why we try to target the graduates, because most likely they are 18 and they pretty much have the time to get involved in an apprenticeship and then be hired on. So basically that's what we've been doing. It took us a while to figure out how we're going to continue our services in the same level before we went on remote learning with the pandemic. And I think we got it all figured out, because it wasn't just us trying to figure it out. It was also the WIOA youth providers. They were also trying to figure out how are we going to continue these services. So there should be continued services, and it's only going to get better, because, you know, with this Zoom now, we can invite all of the students from all of the school sites. We don't have to have it site by site. All of them can come in and participate. And so in that way, we will reach out to even more students. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board?
No, but this is Clydebeck. I really like an excited person who's really enjoying her work, and like you all do, but that was nice to hear from that young lady.
Yeah, this is Franklin Costa. Just to echo Claudette there, that's a great update, Shelley. Very, very exciting activity going on, and very proactive in nature, so it's great to hear. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on to item 6, action items. Item A, the board will be asked to approve the area superintendent evaluation policy, and that's Jeff Martineau.
Good afternoon, President Adams and board members. On page 306 of your board packets, you will find the area superintendent evaluation policy. The policy is unchanged from the draft presented for discussion by Jerry Vinson at the last board meeting. Beginning in the school year 2021-2022, the board will conduct an annual evaluation of the area superintendent based on annual goals and metrics, which will be forthcoming in early fall 2021. As we prepare for the upcoming school year, you will receive additional information regarding the evaluation tool, selected metrics, and training in preparation for evaluating the area superintendent. At this time, I ask for your consideration in approving the area superintendent evaluation policy. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? If not, I will hear a motion to approve action item 6A.
Frank Picasso, I make a motion to approve action item 6A.
Thank you.
Clyde Beck, I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Clyde Ed Beck?
Aye.
Frank Picasso?
Aye.
That passes with 3 yes votes. Item B, the board will be asked to approve the 2020-2021 first interim report, and that's Edith Reeker.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Gita with NLAC. So the first interim report is the first financial report of the fiscal year for the school. It shows the financial condition of the school after the first 4 months of the operations, and that's July 1st, 2020 through October 31st, 2020. The report also includes the financial condition, financial section that includes the original budget, projected totals up for the year, actuals to date, and a projected school reserve at the year end. You can find the actual report on pages 307 to 315 of your PDF packet. The last page of the report shows the ADA information. That's page 315 of the PDF, which is especially unique to this year's projected funding. P2 ADA is already known to the school. This helps us make more accurate estimation of the actual school's revenue from state apportionment. Due to ADA hold harmless, the school's revenue is not determined by current year's ADA, but last year's ADA. This possesses some challenges to schools that have growth or reduction of enrollment because revenue levels are similar to last year's, but expenditures relate to the true enrollment levels during this year. We're going to start with Form A. That's the report that shows the average daily attendance. It's the last page of the first interim report section, page 315. The original budget projected an ADA of 2,375 for the fiscal year 2021. However, the P2 ADA that will be reported and will be based for state funding to the school is 1,912. This difference is 462 ADA, or 19%, below the original projection in March. Due to this change in funding ADA, and also due to changes in funding rates and additional one-time revenue, the original budget has gone through several revisions, and the school has adjusted revenue and expenditure levels to make sure that the school provides all needed instructional services to the students, teachers, and all the administrative staff at the school, meet spending requirements, and also remain fiscally sound. Now we're going to go ahead and review the expenditures and revenues for the first 4 months of this year. That's Form 62, and it starts at the beginning of the report. The school is projecting a total revenue of $26.8 million, approximately $3.5 million, or 11% lower than the original budget, and a projected excess revenue of $271,000. LCFF sources decreased by 12% due to a decrease in funding ADA. Federal revenue increased due to additional revenue from the federal portion of Learning Loss Mitigation Fund. Other state revenues increased 2% due to a combination of factors, including a lower funding ADA, which was offset by an increase in state debt funding rate and additional revenue from the state portion of the Learning Loss Mitigation Fund. The total school expenses projected this year is $26.5 million, a decrease of 12% compared to original budget. Projected salaries and benefits decreased 4%, including increase in student support spending and a decrease in teachers and administrative spending. Projected totals for purchases decreased 54% due to decrease in supplies and some instructional materials and equipment. Projected overall operating expenses had a decrease of 16%, including increase in insurance and decrease in travel and conference expenses. Also professional and instructional services and communication. If you refer to item F as in Frank, that's net position of the school financial position, and it's on the interim report. You will see that with the current reserve of $518,000 and the projected excess revenue of $271,000, the school will end up fiscal year 2021 with a projected reserve of $789,000, which is 3% of the total annual expenditure. As we previously informed the board, The school is continuously monitoring changes to the school funding and cash deferrals. The school superintendent and our finance team are monitoring the cash and instructional spending very closely to make sure that the school adapts to these changes and remains fiscally sound. And that concludes my report, and if there's any questions, I'll be happy to answer. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board?
Hi, Gina, Franklin Costa. Just a quick question. Under page 312, under services and other operating expenses, I noticed that spike in the insurance line item from the original budget to the projected. Can you advise on that increase?
Right. So the insurance, because the open enrollment is normally in March, it's not easy to project. So that's just basically based on that. And then also it's based on the school staff that's on board. So it was just not budgeted properly at that time.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions or comments from the board? If not, I'll hear a motion to approve action item 6B.
Frank DeCosta, I make a motion to approve action item 6B.
Thank you.
Claudia Beck, I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudia Beck?
Aye.
Frank DeCosta?
Aye.
And that passes with 3 yes votes. Item C, the board will be asked to approve the local control funding formula budget overview for parents, and that's Janet Wilson.
Hi, it's Janet again. Briefly, the budget overview for parents includes information on local control funding formula, the LCFF revenues, supplemental and concentration grants, state funds, and federal coronavirus aid relief and economic security for the CARES Act funds. As indicated in the public hearing, the total estimated expenditures for the year are described in large estimated amounts within the budget overview for parents. As also mentioned in the public hearing, the school has made progress or fulfilled all actions described in the LCP and is continuously looking for ways to support and improve our services for our high-needs population. Unless there are any further questions from the board, I would like to recommend the approval of the local control funding formula budget overview for parents. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? If not, I'll hear a motion to approve action item 6C.
Frank Fukunaga, I make a motion to approve action item 6C.
Thank you.
Cut it back. I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Licata?
Aye.
And that passes with 3 yes votes. Item D, the board will be asked to approve the revised charter school accounting manual. Edith Reese.
Good afternoon again. This is Gita with LLAC. So, there are some revisions for the charter's school accounting manual. If you refer to pages PDF 321 to 339, they're all redlined for your reference. One section is the verbiage changes for Form 700. That's a statement of economic interest. It's a public document. That form was revised, so we just went ahead and changed the verbiage according to the new Form 700 within the accounting manual. And you'll see it on the red line. There's another section for gift of public funds. There was a lot of redundancies in that section. The redundancies were removed. Those sections were combined. So you can see the changes on the red lines as well. We also included a table of contents. Some of the titles change and the page numbers, so we just wanted the board to have a reference of everything that's included in the accounting manual. There was also some grammatical changes throughout the document. Those were corrected, and the complete accounting manual was actually uploaded in the Board on Track website, so it's accessible to the board members. And that concludes my section. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, I'll hear a motion to approve action item 6D.
Frank Sacosta, I make a motion to approve action item 6D.
Thank you.
Put it back. I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Sacosta?
Aye.
And that passes with 3 yes votes. Item E. The board will be asked to approve a temporary increase of the Hanmi Bank line of credit during the deferral period between February and December 2021. Nita Shreve.
Good afternoon again, board. So in order to maintain the level of cash to support the school operations during the payment deferrals of the state apportionment, the school obtained a temporary increase of its existing line of credit with Hanmi Bank. The existing line of credit currently is at $4.5 million, and the increase requested was $10,325,000. This increase will be gradual and will reach the peak in July. As you see in the PDF section of your packet, it's pages 340 to 343. It shows that it peaks in July. So that's the maximum amount of $10,325,000. This amount, this increase, will actually decrease gradually through December of 2021. So the board is asked to approve the temporary increase of the Hanmi Bank line of credit during the deferral period between February and December of 2021. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, I'll hear a motion to approve action item 6E.
Frank Sacosta, I make a motion to approve action item 6E.
Thank you.
Cut it back. I'll second that.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Sacosta?
Aye.
And that passes with 3 yes votes. Item F. The board will be asked to review and approve an accounting firm to prepare the school's Form 990 for the year 2019. Nita Schreiber.
Hello again. This is Gita with LLAC. So currently the school uses a firm called Berkey Cox, Evans & Bradford to prepare the Form 990. That's the end of the year tax form for the school. And the school also uses Wilkinson, Hadley, King & Company to prepare the end of the year fiscal financial audit for the school. Wilkinson, Hadley and King and Berkey Cox both provided us with a proposal. You can find both proposals on pages 344 to 362. The management is actually recommending to select Wilkinson, Hadley, King & Company to prepare the school's 990 for the year 2019. And there's a couple of reasons for that. One is that it minimizes errors because the Wilkinson, Hadley, King & Company that is already preparing the audited statements has all the information for the school, and they can easily upload that information into their 990 template and prepare that. So it minimizes errors and it doesn't require us to gather the information again and send it to another firm. Also, Wilkinson, Hadley and King are on the list of approved California Department of Education auditing firms. They are very reputable firms. It also expedites processing of the Form 990 because, again, they are preparing it. Wilkinson Hadley is already preparing the audited statement, has all the information, so they can immediately move on to the Form 990 instead of us waiting for another firm to prepare it for us. The cost is very minimal. The portion that gets billed to the school is $1,100 if the board chooses to stay with Berkey Cox, Evans and Bradford, and then the cost for Wilkinson Hadley is $400, that portion that gets allocated to the school. So we recommend to select Wilkinson Hadley King and Company to prepare the school form 990 for the year 2019. Thank you. And it's also customary, I have to mention that in the whole industry that the firm that uses actually does the audited statement also prepares the form 990. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? If not, I'll hear a motion to approve action item 6F.
Frank LaCosta, I make a motion to approve action item 6F.
Thank you.
Put it back. I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank LaCosta?
Aye.
That passes with 3 yes votes. Item 7, closed session. I need a motion to adjourn the open public board meeting to go into closed session.
Frank LaCosta, I make a motion to adjourn the open public board meeting in order to enter into closed session.
Thank you.
Right, back. I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank LaCosta?
Aye.
That passes with 3 yes votes. Those of you going to closed session, please hang up now and go into the closed session line. Thank you.
Got it back. I'm here.
Thank you.
Frank LaCosta is here.
Thank you. And we can go ahead and proceed. On a motion by Frank LaCosta, seconded by Claudette Beck, the closed session was adjourned back to open session. No action was taken. The board was given information by legal counsel, and no other action was taken. Item 8, additional corporate officers and board members' observations and comments. Mr. Brown. We may have lost Mr. Brown. Any board member observations and comments?
No, this is Frank LaCosta. I just wanted to say, Janet, that we thank you very much to you and your staff for all the hard work and effort that you put in day in and day out, you know, for our students, particularly in this trying time that we're in. So thank you so much for all your efforts.
Thank you so much. I just concur with Frank, Janet.
I'm blessed. So thank you for the honor of working for our students and serving them. It's just a gift. Thank you.
Thank you, Janet. You do a great job. Mr. Brown, last chance? Okay. May I hear a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Frank LaCosta, I make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Thank you.
Claudia Beck, I'll second that.
Thank you. Any discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudia Beck?
Aye.
And Frank LaCosta?
Aye.
That passes with 3 yes votes. We are adjourned.